I think I start getting carried away, but I start imagining myself thinking, well, you know, I've just come back from healing some sick people and driving out some demons and feeling all pumped up with the fact that Jesus' name is powerful. And, you know, here's some people who need feeding and Jesus is there. And, well, I don't know what I'd do, but I kind of imagine I'd try and do something, especially if I'd seen it already. I've seen the feeding of the 5,000, and now there's the feeding of the 4,000, and there's some bread, and I'd be starting to think, well, everybody sit down, we're going to have some food, and I don't know whether I would or not. But so that's what I would think. That's what I do think when I read these accounts. I don't know if you think like that, but I tend to think like that. I think the disciples are very slow on the uptake. But then, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, Jesus still teaches us like this today. He gives us opportunities to do things today, and when I get these opportunities, generally speaking, I don't take them, because generally speaking, I don't even notice them when they're happening, and then after the event, I think back and I think, oh, I should have done something then. I could have done something. I could have, but I didn't. So two things here. Now, I'll give you a concrete example. We were on our French holiday. And every morning, I'd said to the children, you must come with me, each in turn, and you're going to come and buy their breakfast. But in reality, I was the only one who was dressed. So, and I was hungry. So I went to go and buy the baguettes and the pain au chocolat at the local boulangerie. Now, my French is fair when I've got something simple to do. Like, I can do that. I can go to a boulangerie and buy 3 baguettes and 5 pounds of chocolate and come out still intact, speaking French. But it doesn't stretch much further than that. I'm not confident to get into some argument or discussion with somebody who's speaking French. In fact, I know I couldn't do that. It's just my French wouldn't come quick enough. I don't have the grammar. I don't have the whatever. I couldn't do it. It's beyond my skills, GCSE skills in French. But on the second or third to last occasion, going to the boulangerie, I was behind this old lady, and she'd come in for her half baguette. And the boulanger, is that what the word is? I'm just call him the boulanger, shall I? It is. My knowledgeable people over there, nodding their heads. He gave her this burnt half baguette. It was dark brown to black on the outside, and you could see on the inside there was like this white, it was white on the inside still, right? It was still. And he was pointing at this, going, this is, it's fine, look at the inside. I can understand enough French to know, well, especially mostly from gestures, but I could figure out that's what he was saying, and he was tapping the outside, saying, no, it's all fine. And I could see other breads that he'd baked that were also a bit overdone. I think he must have just neglected his duty somewhat and burnt a whole batch and thought, here's an old lady, I can get at least sell a little bit to this person and just shoo her out the door and it will be fine. That's what was happening. And at the time I thought, this isn't good, this isn't right, but I don't feel equipped to do anything about it. I haven't got the French, he doesn't speak any English, that's what I thought. You know, I can't do anything about this. I'm on holiday. Oh well. Frustrating. But I'll buy mine. Off I go back home. But then I was thinking, because I'd asked Jesus to give me an example for today. Right? And then I was thinking, after the event, I was thinking, hold on a minute. The disciples and Jesus did not have the food to feed the people. And yet, Jesus fed the people. 5,000 men. So presumably that's 10,000 at least people, presumably. It says specifically men, doesn't it? So we've got to assume it's twice as many, or more, perhaps with those children as well. You know, it could have been a lot of people. But that there was no way 5 loaves, 2 fish were going to be able to feed 10,000 people. But he did it. And he challenges us to do the things that he did. I didn't have the French. They didn't have the food. Could I, applying the same logic, could I have just believed that the words would come and just spoken? Could I have done? I think I could. If I had believed at that moment that there was a sense of injustice here, that God I know this from my work. He loves the poor. I see the evidence of it all the time. I see the intervention he's putting into people's lives, and incredible things happening amongst the poor, even when they don't even know necessarily that it's Jesus doing it, but miraculous healing. Somebody who's an alcoholic all his life, who woke up one morning completely cured of his alcoholism. That's one of my clients. You know, so I see these things in my cap job. I know he loves the poor. And I saw this lady, and she didn't have in herself what she needed to stand up for herself. I am sure if I had prayed and I had acted, God could have intervened. Now, I don't know what that would have looked like. Whether that would have looked like me just opening my mouth and out comes some good French, or whether that was me opening my mouth speaking in English and the baker hearing it in French, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. I didn't, at that moment, have the inspiration I needed to act, or, when I thought about it afterwards, I don't even know if I'd have the courage to do it. It's quite scary. But it would also have been scary, wouldn't it not, for those disciples? If Jesus had to go feed these people, off you go, they're going to look a bit silly when they've got to the first group of 50 and said, you're sharing these five, these two fish, and see if you can get a few crumbs each, and then the rest of you hope we won't notice. It must have been a little bit scary for them. They did it. So here, I guess the challenge is, I think Jesus still teaches us through these examples today, just the same as he taught the disciples then. But we have to see these opportunities, and we have the courage to take them. So that's what we're going to end with in a minute. We're going to pray that the Lord would help us to see, to think in the way that he thinks about the encounters that we have in our daily lives, that we would see it as Jesus sees it, and that we'd have the courage to act in the way that he would act. I was reminded of those WWJD bracelets that people were wearing years ago, and I never really thought I could get, because I always thought in my mind, I don't know what Jesus would do here, quite often, but I guess that's the prayer, isn't it? That we would know what Jesus would do in the situation, and then we'd have the courage to do it. So that's the thought. So why did I start off with the present moment? Why did I start off with thinking about, are you here? Are you here now? Well, partly it was just to remind you to pay attention to the sermon. But partly it's because when I think about all those opportunities that I've had in life and not taken, I can get a bit down on myself. I can start thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to have the courage to take that particular step. I'm going to be always regretting not having more courage and being braver and trusting that God's going to come through for me to take the risk. But I just felt encouraged by God to think, no, let's think about today. Don't worry about, and Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't live in the past. Let's think about today. Let's not beat ourselves up about the past. Let's just think about today and the new chances that God's going to bring our way today or tomorrow or the next day. And they come when tomorrow is today and the next day is today. And let's not worry about our failures in the past. The disciples got more than one chance, didn't they? Fighting of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000. Still didn't get it. He still blessed them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they had courage. We had the Holy Spirit. So we have chances. God loves us. He's still giving us chances. I've been reading quite a hard book, Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. It's anything by Conrad. It's quite hard going. But the essence of the story is about a young man who dreams these wonderful dreams about being brave and heroic and awesome. And he is the first mate on a ship transporting 600 pilgrims across a glassy sea at night. And the ship strikes a hidden object, and the crew all believe that the ship is going to sink. They look at the number of lifeboats and they think, there aren't enough lifeboats for all 600 pilgrims. So all of them, bar Jim, abandon the ship onto a lifeboat and skulk off, hope while everybody's asleep, and just expect that they're going to be fine because they're in their lifeboat, the ship will sink, everybody will die, and but they'll be all right. And Jim has huge dilemmas. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And eventually, in the last moment, he jumps into the lifeboat, leaving the ship to sink. It doesn't sink. It gets rescued, the ship gets pulled into port, the crew gets hauled up before a court. In fact, they all disappear before that can happen. Only Jim actually stands trial. But he is haunted by this moment of cowardice, this moment where he didn't have the courage to try and do something to save these people. And the story is sort of about a story of redemption, really, because it was only later in the story when he has another opportunity, completely different, where he takes it and does something courageous, he saves this village, that he finds peace in his heart, I guess, and he's able to reconcile that failure that he had in his earlier life. We're always given another chance, and it's when we take another chance, however scary it may be, that we start to find peace about those things in the past where we didn't quite have the courage to do what we needed to do. I guess that's the message. So let's look forward to the next chance, and let's pray together that we would have the courage and the inspiration to do what Jesus did. Whether that's feeding 5,000, a feast, when we've only got 3 roast chickens, or whether that's standing up for a little old lady in a bakery who's been given some burnt bread and shooed out the door, or whatever it may be. But we are given chances. God does present things and we have the chances. So let's look out for them and pray that we'd have the courage to do it. So let us stand. And I'm going to pray for us all, including me, who failed to stand up for the old lady. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are continuing to teach us. You're continuing to show us your way through your word and through circumstances in life. Just as Jesus did with 12, you do the same with us. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to think like you do, to see the opportunities, and not to worry about whether it's possible or not, but to take the risk to do these things in your name, the things that you would do if you were here on earth, that we would have the courage and the inspiration to do these things today ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.